Thank you, Susan. Hi, good morning, everybody. Right, just as we start, I'm just going to show you a video clip. Jesus said, "Go then and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them into the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything I have commanded you, and I am with you to the very end of the age." This is discipleship, that we obey everything Jesus said and that we go and we make more disciples. And I believe that our challenge as a congregation in the next period of time is this. Not that, though it's good. To move. You saw it on the letter heading of the email, and it's going to be my first slide, that our challenge is to move. Onwards. Not that either. But, you know, that's good too. To move onwards in our relationship with God, but also to move outwards as a church that has left this building, impacting our Maidenhead community. And this morning, Dave and I are going to be sharing our Maidenhead vision for the rest of this year and beyond. And I'm going to be looking first of all at us as a congregation, and Dave is going to be looking at us working into our community. And we want to celebrate this morning what God has already done and is doing. And we want to share some thoughts and some plans for the future. But you know what undergirds everything that we're going to say this morning is this, that has not changed. It's not even working either. Can I have the next slide, please, Dave? There we go. To give everyone in Maidenhead tangible, relevant and life-changing encounters with Jesus. And that is our vision here in Maidenhead. And you know what? Life-changing is the key, isn't it? And what I want to do is I want to just share with you briefly the journey of the leadership team in the last few months, which has been a personal journey, and they've all said that I can share this with you. God has brought to us an amazing work called Move, which I've waved before, and handily has a green traffic light on the front of it this morning. And this has challenged the socks off us as a leadership team. And we've understood something very clearly. Our heart and our passion is to see everybody in this congregation growing God and to reach others in our community and to see their lives transformed by God's love and God's power. But the most significant barrier to spiritual progress in us as a congregation is us as your leaders. That actually, if we are spiritually average, then so will our people be. That is quite a gulp moment. So actually, as a team, we've been looking really carefully at our relationship with God. We've been looking at our daily disciplines in reading the Bible and praying. We've been assessing what our lives are about and what we're going for. And we've actually been making new commitments individually and as a team to develop ourselves as disciples of Jesus. And we've been asking ourselves, are we really surrendered to Jesus? Now, I read about the life of this man, William Borden, and it really challenged me. God spoke to me through it. Really briefly, he was born in 1887. He was already a millionaire when he was born. And before he went to college, he went and travelled throughout Asia, the Middle East and Europe. He was moved by the suffering that he saw, and that led him to write home that he decided to become a missionary. His friends and his family accused him of throwing away his life. And his response was to write two words in the back of his Bible. No reserves. I'll hold nothing back. He began his college education and he quickly made his mark, not for his wealth, but for his spirituality. A student wrote of him, "He came to college already ahead of all the rest of us, spiritually. He had already given his heart in full surrender to Christ. And he had really done it." He began a breakfast prayer meeting at his campus, and by the end of the first year, 150 students were meeting together. By the time he finished college, there were 1,000 students meeting together in prayer groups. In addition to what he did on campus, he helped those in the community who were widows, orphans, alcoholics. He did really well at his studies, and he got loads of top, well-paid job offers, and he turned every single one of them down in favour of the mission field. In the back of his Bible, he wrote two more words. No retreats. No retreats from the call of God on his life. So he sailed out to China to minister to the Muslims there. He stopped off in Egypt to learn Arabic. And there he contracted spinal meningitis and he died within a month. He was 25. He never made it to China. Just before his death, he added two more words to the back of his Bible. No regrets. No reserves. No retreats. No regrets. What would our lives look like if we were able to live that out, lives surrendered to Jesus? The amazing possibilities there are for us. The incredible fulfillment there is to live as a child of God. What would Maidenhead look like if we were able to live like that? Do you know, to stay as babes in the kingdom of God is an incredible waste of life. God will find people to make a difference in this world. Will it be you? Will it be me? I'd like that to be my motto, that I will live with no reserves, with no retreats and no regrets. I want to live my life out with no plan B, only plan A, to see the kingdom of God come in this place. I want to see this hall filled with the presence of God and people coming in week after week to find hope and healing and joy and peace. I want to see our Maidenhead community changed with the love of God, bodies and minds healed, hope restored, depression gone, families built up, relationships mended, lives built on the unfailing truth of God's love, goodness and faithfulness. A community changed by the love of God. And that can happen. Nothing is impossible with God. And there are no limits on him. But how? How is that going to happen? The face of our Maidenhead congregation is changing. I don't know whether you've noticed. There are new people. We have new believers. And we're all at different stages of our walk with God. This move book here examines the spiritual journey that every single one of us is on. And it breaks it down like this. Let me just show you this. Let's have a look at that. It defines four segments of our journey with Jesus. And in this room, there'll be people at every stage of that, and that is absolutely fine. If you're in the exploring Christ segment, you're kind of, I believe in God, but I'm not so sure about Jesus, and my faith isn't a significant part of my life. If you're growing in Christ, you believe in Jesus, and you're working on what it means to get to know him. If you're close to Christ, you feel really close to him and you depend on him daily for guidance. If you're Christ-centered, your relationship with Jesus is the most important relationship in your life and it guides everything that you do. It's good to know where we are. It's good to know where we are on that journey. But how do we move? How do we move from one place to another? How do we grow to become people who are truly Christ-centered? And as a leadership team, part of the journey we've been on is learning that there are certain catalysts which do bring growth in us. And we've been looking at them and exploring how we can deploy them within the congregation, how we can all jump on board with this journey of moving onward in our relationship with God. So there were some catalysts for growth that we saw. There are some core beliefs that we need to get nailed. We need to know them like we know them like we know them and have them transform our lives. There are spiritual practices like prayer and worship and Bible reading and meditation that we need to have as part of our daily walk with God. There's serving in church, which is way more important than we realise, far more than just doing jobs. And there's serving the community, giving our lives away. And we're going to be really intentional as a team about what we teach on Sundays and throughout our meetings going forwards. We want to take these catalysts and we want to explore them fully. And do you know what? God will grow every single one of us and take us on that journey as we submit to him, as we stay connected to him in an ongoing relationship. I want to encourage you with this scripture from Philippians. And I am convinced and sure of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will continue until the day of Jesus Christ, right up to the time of his return, developing that good work and perfecting it and bringing it to full completion in you. We can be secure in the knowledge that our God is on our side and wants to grow us. So, where do we go straight away from here? Our first new teaching series, starting next week, is Word. I've mentioned it before and I've taught on it as well, that reflection on Scripture is key. It is the major catalyst for growth in the kingdom and in our lives. Jesus said, "If you abide in my Word, you are my disciples indeed, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." We want to become a people who read it, who love it, and who live it. So our first teaching series is going to be all about the Word of God. And we want it to inspire you, we want it to equip you, and we want it to encourage you. So we're going to be looking at Digging for Gold with Andy Reid, True or False with Chris Greenslade, Do It Yourself with Ruth Middleton, The Word, the Final One with Dave Vann. And we were going to finish with a Scripture Testimony Sunday. And what we would like is to have a Sunday where you come and bring your testimonies of how God has spoken to you through his Word in the month that we've just had. God will speak to you, absolutely guarantee it. And you'll be amazed at how he sets your heart on fire through his Word. We've planned other teaching series to follow on after this one that follow the catalysts for growth. We have a plan, people. But what you need to know is that we as a team are committed to you as a congregation. We're committed to lead you well. We're committed to serve you faithfully and by example, and to help us all as a family move onwards in our relationship with God. And by his grace and faithfulness, we will all do it. That is part one of the story. Dave is now going to come and share about our move outwards into our Maidenhead community.
Great. Thank you, Kerry. That is awesome. As we're talking about moving, I think it's a chance for us to do a little bit of the bum shuffle, because, you know, your bum sometimes gets numb in church. You know, when you're sitting and speaking. So does anyone want to just give a little, just do a little move? Yeah, little, well, you could stand up and stretch. Or just wiggle around just to kind of get more comfortable. I want you all to be comfortable. On the subject of this, so my son loves that clip, I Like to Move It from Madagascar. He watched the movie once and he didn't quite remember the words right. Sorry, not just yet, Dave. He didn't quite remember the words right, so he was playing it back to us, and he said, "I like to make a Mooney." No, Josiah, "I like to move it. I like to make a Mooney." Anyway, if you don't know what that means, then you're probably better off. So, Kerry's talked about moving in our relationship with God, and as we move upwards, we're also called to move outwards. And those two things are inextricably linked. Do you remember the lawyer who wanted to test Jesus? Said, "Jesus, what's it all about? Summarize the commands for me." And Jesus said, "It's to love your God and love your neighbor." Moving closer to God and moving out into the community and the people around you. Dave, sorry, go for it. I was struck by something the other week. you obviously all know about what the horrible attack that happened in Woolwich. But what struck me was not the attack, but the response of three ladies. Let's see if this is working. Yes. Dubbed the Woolwich Angels. Now, in case you don't know the story of these three ladies, they were on a bus, I believe, and saw a man lying in the road and just instinctively got off the bus to see what had happened and see if they could care for him. Now, two of the ladies went to go and see if they could do anything for the soldier, and they couldn't, and they stayed and prayed with him. And then the other lady went to confront one of the attackers with a knife. And while everyone else just stood there. And do you know what struck me as I read that story? What a powerful picture of the Church of Jesus Christ. There is a world in need out there. And we are called to get off the bus and go where we see the need. Just instinctively go to where people are in need and confronting injustices, standing up in the face of injustice. And I thought that was a remarkable picture of our calling as a Church of Christ. Now, some of those injustices will be global, but the needs are not all global. They are right here on our doorstep. And I want to talk about a few of them and what we can do this year. Before I do that, I want to just give a little bit of context for this idea of moving into the community. It's not just about something that we as a leadership team believe is important or have come up with or is in that book, but it is throughout Scripture. I just want to give you a little bit of some examples. This is Genesis. Go from your country into the land I will show you. This is God saying to Abraham. And I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. Exodus. Then the Lord said to Moses, go, tell Pharaoh, king of Egypt, to let the Israelites go out of his country. And then in Matthew, Jesus to his disciples, go to the people of all nations and make them my disciples. Baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Teach them to do everything I have told you, and I will be with you always, even until the end of the world. Guys, we cannot get away from the fact that we are called to be people on the move. We are called to be people on the move. All throughout Scripture, God is always saying to his people, go, go, go to the promised land. Go to the next place I have for you. Move out into the community, out into Jerusalem, to Judea, Samaria, the ends of the earth. We are called to be a people on the move. Now, I know for some people like me, I'm a personality type. I like to be challenged. And I like, you know, some of you work in organizations, and if, as soon as you hear the word change, you kind of think, oh, no, not change, not more change. Whereas I'm kind of the personality type. Like, yeah, 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 come on, let's change, let's go, let's move. So I want to say this in the context of I know not everyone loves words like change, go, and move. But we cannot get out away from the fact that the Scriptures that we obey are constantly calling us to move with a promise, I will be with you always. Guys, I want to celebrate. Before I move on to challenge, I want to celebrate because we are people on the move. We are not just called to be people on the move. We are a people that are on the move. In the last year alone, a number of you have done some remarkable things moving out into the community. Alejandra over there, who you may know, Alejandra has started a club for, initially for Spanish speakers, but now for people of other nationalities who can come and they can practice their English and they can just share their stories about living here in the UK, what life is like. And Alejandra and her team are building up remarkable relationships with these people. They're having opportunities to pray with them, to witness to them. And that's just something that Alejandra's done off of her own back with a few others. So Alejandra, I want to commend you and honor you in front of everyone. Oh, look at me. She hates this. Oh, Dave. Oh, Dave, why do you do this? Linda, I want to commend you. Linda, where are you, Linda? Linda has started two things in the Larchville Community Center. One's an open table, which is feeding families from the community who are struggling to put food on the table. And the other one is a coffee drop-in for people during the day. And just a couple weeks ago, the last open table, you had 45 people come from the community and eat there and be blessed and served and encounter the love of Jesus in a practical way. So that's just another example. A guy who's not here today, Andrew Green, is a fantastic member of this congregation. He's been doing healing on the streets for a while. He's been continuously praying for people. He saw someone get healed the other week. That person has kept in touch, said they want to know more about Jesus, they're interested in coming to church. I know that several of you have had experiences through healing on the streets where just you've brought the love of God to people in a way that they can touch and feel in their bodies, and people have come to church, people have come back to you and said, tell me more about this faith that is obviously real and something is there. So to Andrew Green and others of you, I want to commend you too. I want to commend my wife, Laura, with the help of a few others. She started a mums and toddlers group in the community centre, and she's regularly getting a stream each week of new mums and toddlers coming in and experiencing again in a very practical way God's love and just starting to build those relationships where we draw people closer and closer. And on that journey, on that continuum, that journey that Kerry showed. So, guys, I want to, and to all of you here who I didn't mention, but you've just in little ways have responded to the call of God in your lives to just move out, maybe in a relationship with your neighbor or something in the workplace. I want to say thank you, and Jesus is smiling and loving what you're doing. Now, we have loads of opportunities as a church to move into our community. It's not one of those things where we stand up and go, come on, everyone, let's move. And then everyone kind of goes, oh, that's great, but where? We have, oh, that's us, the church, moving out. Not devil horns on the church. It kind of looks a bit bad on reflection. We have loads of opportunities to move into our community. That is Maidenhead, guys. These are just things that we as a church are involved in or set up. Healing, oh, it's a little bit dark. Healing on the streets. Larchford Ladybirds, which is the Mums and Tots group. Alpha. Larchfield Prayer Walking, Santa's on the High Street at Christmas time, Larchfield Open Table, Larchfield Easter Eggs, which is the Easter event we did in the community, Larchfield Coffee Drop-In, Larchfield Summer Club, which is coming up soon with other churches, Larchfield Festival, which I'm going to mention in a moment, and then other things we're involved in the community include Food Share, Street Angels, Recharge, and I'd also forgot to mention, oh no, Street Angels is there, yeah. There are probably others that I haven't mentioned. Guys, isn't this fantastic? These are all things that we as a group, as a body of Christ, are involved in our community. And you guys are doing that, and that is fantastic. And what's more, since in the last year, those four things, a year ago, those weren't happening. So in the last year, those are all new things that we as a church have reached into. And that is fantastic. So if you're feeling, do you know what, I want to do something more to reach people in my town, then come and chat to any of us on the team, because there are loads of opportunities. Okay, right, I want to talk about one of them in particular that we have. First of all, a date. Sunday, September the 1st is Larchfield Festival 2013. Put it in the diaries, put it on the phone diaries, write it on the back of your hand or the forehead, whatever helps to remember. Right, quick question. Who here has been involved or helped in a previous Larchfield Festival? Put up your hands. Wow, that's fantastic. That's the majority of you. It's brilliant. The Larchfield Festival is an event that we've put on for the past 3 years to love and bless the community that are right on our doorstep. It's a fun day packed with games and activities for kids, and we've had music, and we've had bands and comedy and food and fantastic prayer and healing going on as well. And guys, we've decided that we want to do the Larchfield Festival again because we see it as a really crucial epicenter at the epicenter of an earthquake from which lots of movements actually happen. One of the reasons that we're involved in the community center and have the full blessing of the council is because we've sown into this community with a festival that hundreds and hundreds of families, people come to and know and respect us because of. That's the reason why a lot of those relationships, those doors have been opened. So we've thought and prayed about it as a team, and we believe that it is a really important event to gather in so many people and build more of those relationships and invite people to come on us with a journey. And we're going to be launching something new off the back of it, which is going to be happening on Sundays in the community center, to do with children and families and having church in a very real, messy kind of way. And when I say messy, I mean like arts and crafts messy, not just kind of, you know, wobbly messy. So, guys, we would like for you to come with us as we journey into the heart of the community and for Larchfield Festival 2013 and build on the platform that we've already made in that community and the goodwill that there is, as we see with people coming to the Open Table, coming to the Larchfield Ladybirds, massive response we had at the Easter event. We are a church that is called to look first on our doorstep and the people we can reach. And they are right there. I want to share one story quickly because it was really powerful. Last year we definitely stepped up a gear spiritually at the festival. And Kerry told me a story at leadership team the other week, which I loved. There was a lad who came to get prayed for at the healing tent. I think he'd fallen over playing football, fallen off his bike, I think that's what it was, and his leg, you know, he kind of damaged his leg up a bit and it was hurting. So he was like, okay, go on, pray for me, because, you know, it's really hurting. So Kerry and the team prayed for him and he was like, oh, you know, actually that's quite a bit better. Yeah, okay, you know, maybe there's something there. Off he went. He's a lad who's been coming every year. Kerry then heard from someone else that when he was at school, they were doing prayer in RE. And during the RE lesson, the teacher said, so has anyone had any experience of prayer? No, or wants to say anything about prayer? He says, yeah, miss, I know about prayer because I got prayed for healing at Larchfield Festival and my leg's better, so I believe it. And that is a 13-year-old boy. As a 13-year-old boy from Larchfield who we've encountered. And then he's just one of there are so many amazing testimonies out of last year's. Go on, a follow-up, Kerry.
A follow-up to that is we then met him on the street, doing healing on the streets. He was there with his scooter and one of his friends. And he said, oh, I remember you lot, you prayed for me. Oh, my friend's shoulder's sore, will you pray for my friend? So we said, yeah, all right. So he went off to McDonald's to get his friend and came back and we prayed for his friend and his friend's shoulder got better.
That's awesome. That's great. That's exactly why we want to do the festival, because it's a ripple effect that we are seeing, that we're starting to see in the community, and we want to continue to be a church that moves into the community. So, actually, back to me, to you. It's back to Kerry.
All right, guys. Thank you, Dave. And Dave. Yes, Dave. Can I have the first one? Guys, we need money. What can I say? have we got that up? That first one up? Let's just go back. Has it got a title? No, we've not got a title. Okay, that was pretty. It's not very pretty at the moment. Since last year, in February 2012, when we shared with you and launched the vision to give everyone in Maidenhead tangible, relevant, life-changing encounters with Jesus, we have done loads of things. We've done Easter Bunnies, Larchfield Festival, Santa's, Christmas production, Easter Extravaganza, Larchfield Prayer Cards, delivering a prayer card to every house in Larchfield, Larchfield Ladybird set up, and Alpha, totalling £7,375. I am incredibly proud of that amount of money. Can I tell you why? Because centrally, I get £14,000 to run the congregation, the cost of the congregation. And so that figure represents over half of our running costs we spend on outreach. And if I strip out of that £14,000, just hall hire costs, which are £11,000. That means I have £3,000 to run the running costs of Maidenhead congregation. We spent more than double that, nearly £7,500 on reaching out. It's where our priority lies, to be a church that has left the building. And I think that is so healthy, and I am so encouraged by that. And all of that money, bar £1,000, which came from central funds, was given by all of us, with gift aid added. We funded all of that outreach into Maidenhead, and I think that is absolutely fantastic. And I am so proud of this congregation. I'm so proud to lead this congregation on that basis, that we're not just sitting here keeping ourselves happy in these four walls, that we're taking the love of Jesus, putting our money behind it, and we're going out into the community. But we've nearly used it all up. We need to take up an offering this morning to support our ongoing work into the community of Maidenhead. And guys, I don't often talk like this, but I really want to encourage everybody here today who considers themselves a member of our River family to put something into the offering basket this morning. You may not be able to give hundreds of pounds or even tens of pounds, but please put something in. And I just want to explain why, because I believe this morning it's really symbolic. I was praying over the offering and I felt that it is incredibly significant that we stand together as a congregation giving into our vision for Maidenhead. God has so much that he wants to accomplish and so many lives he wants to change with his incredible love in this town. He can do it through us and he wants to do it through us. And the call this morning, I believe, is to stand shoulder to shoulder as family and commit into this. And I think it is a hugely significant act. I also think it's a prophetic act this morning. What we're saying is, God, we want to move on with you. We will give sacrificially this morning, not necessarily what we can afford, as a sign of our desire for you. Malachi 3:10 says this, "Bring all your tithes into the storehouse that there may be food in my house, that there may be money to reach out. And prove me by it now, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the windows of heaven for you and pour you out a blessing that there will not be enough room to receive it." That's God's promise over our lives. As we give into his kingdom, we will have blessing in our lives, maybe financially, maybe relationally, maybe health-wise, that we will not be able to contain because there's so much of it. We want to reach this town for Jesus. We want to grow in our relationship with God, and we want to stand together as one this morning in doing it. So I really want to encourage you to go for it this morning. Everything that goes in the basket this morning will go towards our Maidenhead Vision Fund. You can give cash, you can give checks. If you want it to be gift aided, please put it in an envelope. You can give by text. How smart is that this morning? Thank you, Dave Van. That's what you do. You need to give those amounts, multiples like that. But that's what you do. You text MAID 13, then the amount, and you send it to that place. I just feel that this is one of those moments where we just go, you know, God, we're going to go for it with you. We're going to move. We're going to move as a congregation onward in our relationship with you and onward and outward into our community. So I'd like the welcome team to send round the baskets. And I'd just like to just take a moment and just say, God, what can I give? What do you want me to sow into this? Yeah, Father God, we love you. We want to give to you. We want to rejoice at your blessing in our lives.